Testament is the fabric that we wear. And when I was young, my mother used to sew, and she made a lot of clothes for herself and for my sister Beverly, and once in a while she'd make something for the boys. But she would also do it the right way. She would go to a store and buy the material, and then she would go buy a pattern. The pattern was what she wanted to make. And she would pin that pattern to the fabric, cut the fabric, and then actually sew what she wanted to make. But nobody wears a pattern. We wear the fabric. And so in the same sense, the Old Testament is the pattern for the Christian life. The New Testament is the fabric that we wear. But this morning I want to go back to the Old Testament, one of the smallest books in the Bible, and look at a pattern. Because in this pattern, in the story of Ruth, we can actually see Jesus revealed. In fact, you can find Jesus revealed in every book of the Old Testament. But the book of Ruth is particularly interesting because of what took place. Now, the story begins in chapter 1 with a woman named Naomi. And Naomi had a husband named Elimelech, and she had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And because of a famine, because times were tough in Israel, she and her husband moved to Moab. Now, Moab is an area just east of the Dead Sea. And actually, the inhabitants of Moab were actually the descendants of Lot. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, there were more than just two cities that were in that area of the Dead Sea, the southern Dead Sea. There were actually five. And Sodom and Gomorrah were the two larger communities, and there were three smaller communities, and all of them were destroyed in the book of Genesis. But Lot's son continued to dwell in that area, so it became the country of Moab. Now, this is long before the law of Moses. This is long before the Levitical priesthood, if you will. And, they weren't necessarily followers of Jehovah. In Moab, they did worship different deities and entities. One of the most infamous was a deity named Chemosh. And Chemosh was particularly heinous, or I could say the worship of Chemosh was heinous because it involved human sacrifice, killing babies and burning them in this furnace to, you know, appease this god, little g, Chemosh. And so that's the environment that we find. Now, there were times when they did follow after Jehovah and follow after the things of God, but suffice it to say there was a good relationship between the people of Israel at this time and the inhabitants of Moab. But times were tough in Israel. And so Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, moved to Moab. And they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And as time went by, these two sons married Moabites, women from Moab. One of those women was a young girl named Ruth, and the other was a woman named Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah. Okay. And so as time went on, unfortunately, Elimelech passed away. He died and left his wife, Naomi, a widow. And as time progressed, her two sons also passed away. And so now, Naomi is left with two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And she made a decision, it's time to go home. And so she told these two women, look, I'm going back to Bethlehem. Why don't you go back to your families, go back to your mother's homes, and let them take care of you. And Orpah decided, yep, that's what I'm going to do. Kissed her and said, see you later. But Ruth was different. Ruth told Naomi, I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you. Now, We're in the book of Ruth. Let's look at chapter 1. And we'll pick this story up with verse 15. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And she said, this is Naomi, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor return from following after you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people." Notice this, "and your God shall be my God. Wherefore, or where you die, that's where I'll die, and I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death separates you from me." Now here's something that I want to let you know. Ruth made a decision to not only cling to her mother-in-law, Naomi, but more importantly, to follow after Naomi's God. Something happened in the life of this woman, and we don't know what it was, we don't know when it happened, we don't know the details. All we know is there was something that caused Ruth to follow after the things of God. Many times in life, we are faced with decisions. And actually, we're faced with decisions every day. I did a series called Faith is a Lifestyle, and I made this statement some time ago. Faith is nothing more than a series of decisions that you make every day. I choose to believe God's word, or I choose to do something else. It's a choice. It's a choice. Many times Jesus ministered to people, and he would look at them and ask them a silly question. "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And when they responded in the affirmative, God always met them. And there were times when people wouldn't believe. They made a choice not to believe. And you'll find there wasn't much he could do. And so faith is nothing more than decisions that we make every day. Life is full of decisions. Some of those decisions can have big impacts. They can change our life in a major way. And, you know, I'm sort of like somebody that I heard recently. They said, we're a church that preaches responsibility. And I thought, that's good. You know, stuff doesn't just happen to you in life. Many times it's because of your decisions. And we need to teach young people how to make good, informed, righteous decisions. Amen. Choices. How many of you know choices have consequences? I remember when I was young, you know, I grew up in the 70s. Hey, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was it. You know, nothing's changed. It's always been that way. You know, but I grew up as a little boy, and I was influenced by the culture that I was in. But there was something about me. I was real curious. You ever have a child or have a family member just curious? Ask you a million questions? That was me. My son's the same way. I remember when DJ was little, we tried to encourage him, you know, because for a while there, I thought he was developmentally slow. Because we had a neighbor around the corner. This kid's walking at 8 or 9 months, and DJ's still crawling around. And I never will forget the day I got embarrassed. I went over to this couple's home. We went over there for dinner. And Jan was my buddy Mike Whitfield's wife. And they had a little boy named Jeremy, who's about a month older than DJ. And she says, "Is that boy walking yet?" "No, he's getting there. He's crawling around and, you know, hanging on to things." We had tried to get that boy to walk for the longest time, to no avail. And here my neighbor, Jan, says, "Here, bring him here." Grabs my son, walks to the middle of the living room, stands him in the middle of the floor, walks over to the wall, sits down, and says, "Come here, DJ." And he waddles over to, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. He walks for a stranger. You know, it just, now she wasn't really a stranger, but I mean, I've been trying to get this kid to walk forever. Then he wasn't talking a lot. And I'm trying to get him to talk, and I didn't talk to him like a baby, you know. I talked to him like I'm talking right now, you know. And he'd look at me, and he wouldn't say anything. And I'm thinking, man, this is... But I remember the day he started talking. And I thought, oh, Lord. He wouldn't shut up. Then when he's 3, 4, 5 years old, and I took him with me everywhere. Daddy, how come this? And Daddy, how come that? Oh, Lord. You know, and he just asked questions constantly. Well, that's the kind of person that I am. And so here I'm faced with all of these choices. But I was curious enough to observe what that choice did to other people. And so I watched the generation ahead of me, the guys who were older than me, because everybody tried to get me to party and, you know, use drugs and drink. And I would look at the guys who were 7, 8, 9 years ahead of me, and I'm thinking, okay, how's that working for you? And you know, they're overdosing and dying. They're getting in car crashes and getting mangled up. They're you know, having parties, and they'd get so drunk they'd cut each other's hair. And then you got to go to school the next day. And you see these guys with these jacked up haircuts. And I'm like, what in the world were you doing? Oh, we got drunk last night. Figured we'd give each other haircuts. You do all kind of stupid stuff when you drink too much. And I'm thinking, Then I had one guy, you know, he'd get so drunk, they'd bang his head off the gas pump. We had a little store in our town, little country town, and we had one gas pump. And this guy, they would literally bang his head off the gas pump. You could hear it all over town. Bang, 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 bang. He didn't feel a thing. And so everybody told me that was fun, that was a good time. I'm watching this, I'm thinking, I don't think so. I just know. You know, choices have consequences. And so I never really got involved in that. But it was because of observation. So choices are very powerful. And here we see Ruth making a choice. But it wasn't just to cling to her mother-in-law Naomi, but it was to follow after Naomi's God. Now listen to me. Naomi had been through a lot. Ruth had been through a lot. Orpah had been through a lot. Orpah decided, I'm going home in Moab. But Ruth decided, Naomi, I'm going to follow you back to Bethlehem, and nothing will separate you from me except death. In fact, your people will become my people. Where you live, I will live. And most importantly, your God will be my God. And so Naomi returned to Bethlehem with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Now, many times, I say this often, there are times when bad things happen to good people. And as human nature is, we try to affix blame, we try to understand why. You know what? You're not going to understand everything in life. Did you realize that? And you were not required to have all the answers. Somebody asked me a couple years ago, Bill, has your theology changed? I said, not at all. Not a bit. In fact, I preach healing more than ever. Are you with me? There are some things that I know to be true. They will never change. The things that I don't understand, I'm not concerned about those. If God reveals it to me, fine. If He doesn't, hey, I'm cool. I know Him too well. I understand the way He does things. And so I stick with what I know. Well, Ruth knew something. Now, I don't know if she got it from Elimelech or if she got it from her husband, but she knew something about Jehovah. And so she clung to Naomi. Now, when Naomi went back to Bethlehem, she was welcomed by the people. And she had heard, you know, well, you know, they have bread back in Bethlehem. God is blessing the people back in Bethlehem. You know, it always amazes me why people would leave the things of God and go for something else, even when times get tough. You know, they just all of a sudden you just don't find them anymore. You know what I mean? And so you inquire, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? Nothing. What do you mean nothing? You know, you end up in the land of Moab in a drought. Nothing good's going to happen in Moab, trust me. And so Naomi finally realizes this. Goes back to Bethlehem. Now, here's one thing I want you to see. She went back to Bethlehem bitter. Everybody say bitter. Because she thought, life has been extremely hard and tough for me. And many times we have friends, we have relatives, we have neighbors, they experience the same thing. If they're not careful, they can become bitter. Notice Ruth chapter 1, and I'll begin with verse 19. Just follow along with me. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about with them. And said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," or bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Listen, I'm not one of these people that subscribes to this theory that tough times and suffering teach us something. If that were the case, Naomi missed out on it because she didn't understand it. All she became was bitter. I left full and I returned empty. Don't even call me Naomi. I am a bitter woman. Listen, if you're not careful, life's experiences will leave you bitter. But as long as you stay where you belong, in the household of God, in the household of faith. See, I don't know why she went to Moab in the first place. We know times were tough, but perhaps she made a wrong decision. Are you with me? We don't know if that was the case or not. But the good thing about the Bible is it tells us everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we can learn from the pattern. But in this story, you will see a type of Jesus. Now, Naomi was bitter because she could not see past her present circumstance and see the blessing of God. Ruth, on the other hand, was so committed to God that she was willing to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem. And so when she got back there, she decided to do something to try to support the family. And she ended up gleaning corn in the field of a man named Boaz. Now, you have to keep in mind their economy. You have to keep in mind the culture. In ancient culture, in Israel, the men would reap the harvest in the fields. And there were times that the women were permitted to follow behind them and, for lack of a better term, gather what they could from the scraps. You with me? And so they would glean the harvest and then the women would come along and get what they could from the scraps. Well, this particular field belonged to a man named Boaz. Boaz was a distant relative of Naomi. And so he observes her when she is following behind with the other women, and he made an inquiry. He said, "Hey, who is that gal?" And they said, "Well, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth. She's the Moabitess. She wasn't a Jew." And so he said to her, You know what? Why don't you stay here and work this field?" In fact, he did something different. He told the young men, he said, "As you're gathering the harvest," he said, "don't be so efficient." He said, "I want you to leave some of the good stuff." Are you with me? So that Ruth can gather it up. And so what was he doing? He was showing her favor. And then he even said to her, you know, when you are thirsty, you come and drink where the young men drink. And he had instructed the young men, you know how guys are. Hey, leave the girl alone. You with me? Have you ever had to do that? I've had to do it. As a pastor, I had to do it. Come on, y'all are too serious. I've had to do that as a pastor, you know. I remember at our church in Missouri, I'm the assistant pastor, and we had a large singles group. And we do have a singles ministry here that we got to, you know, we're going to do some stuff, trust me. But anyway, I would get phone calls all the time because these young ladies just wanted to learn about God, learn about Jesus. Many of them were recovering from different things, either a bad relationship or gone through a divorce, or they've lost a loved one. And so we're building them up with God's Word. Or they were just single and never married. And the guys would come. Of course, you know, I think it's in our DNA. You got to find a wife. Amen? Now, finding a wife and finding a hookup are two different things. One's a very godly enterprise, a very godly pursuit. The other one will get you in trouble. And so, invariably, there are always guys that were there for the hookup. And these ladies had enough sense to make good choices in life. And they would tell them, look, I'm not here for that. I'm here to learn about God. I'm not here to date you. And of course, they would size them up immediately, you know. Let me be careful this morning. You can spot a scoundrel a mile away. You with me? And you ladies all have scoundrel radar. You need to listen to it. Amen? You need to listen to it. There have been times the ladies didn't listen to it, got in trouble. And so invariably I'd get the phone call as the associate pastor and I'd go to the next singles meeting and I would tell the guys, hey, leave the girls alone. You know? And I had one fellow say to me, well, pastor, I don't have that gift of celibacy. I said, there's no such thing. He said, what do you mean? I said, there's no such thing as a gift of celibacy. What he was saying was, God has gifted some men where they have no desire for the... No. See, the Apostle Paul had desires just like us. He just knew how to control himself. And so I try to teach these men, you need to make right decisions. You can live your life without sleeping around. It's possible. If you don't have sex, you won't die. Now, if you don't drink water and you don't eat food, eventually you'll die. But you can have sex, not have sex, and not die. You just have to control yourself. You with me? And so here we see Boaz speaking to the young men, saying, see that girl over there? Leave her alone. And they did. They followed his instruction. And so now, as the story progresses, you find that Boaz has a conversation with Ruth. And because she came to him at the instruction of Naomi and laid at his feet one night after these men had worked on the threshing floor. Now, you know, there's a lot of Old Testament tradition, if you will, in there. But here's the principle, just to keep it short so you understand it. In Israel, there was something written to the law that if a wife, if her husband had passed on and she had no children, then a near relative could redeem her, if you will, could purchase that man's possessions and they become his and she becomes his wife so that that man's name doesn't die out. Are you with me? And it's just a cultural thing. We don't do that today. But you have to understand, in that culture, in that time, women were in a position where you had very few choices. You had very few alternatives. Okay, it wasn't like she was going to become the doctor in that town. Women didn't do that back then. You with me? Thank God we've advanced. Are you happy? Yeah. Amen? You have choices. You have alternatives. And so there was something written into the law that a near relative, and that's what the term kinsman means, could extend and redeem that family so that man's seed continues. And so Naomi suddenly has an epiphany, a revelation, and she knows that Boaz is showing favor to Ruth. And she says to her one day, here's what you do. They're going to be at the threshing floor tonight. I want you to go there. And you wait till they've had all their food and they've had a little to drink. And when he falls asleep, I want you to go and lay at his feet. You know, to us that means nothing. What are you talking about? But in that culture, that meant something. So she lays at his feet. He's asleep, wakes up, finds this woman laying at his feet, and it startles him. And she asks him to redeem her and her family. Now, I want you to notice the conversation that she has with Boaz. We're in Ruth chapter 3 now. Ruth chapter 3. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I'm Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore your skirt over thine handmaid, for you are a near kinsman or relative. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as you followed not young men, whether rich or poor. In other words, you've made good choices. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to you all that you require. For all the city of your people do know that you are a virtuous woman. She had made the right decisions. The NASB version of the Bible says this, for everybody knows you're a woman of excellence. A woman of excellence. Ruth had made good choices. Number one, to follow after Naomi's God. Number two, to cleave to Naomi. Even though Naomi was bitter, Naomi was bitter because she couldn't see the blessing. But Ruth saw it. And that's why she said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm staying with you, and your God will be my God. So as she continued to follow instruction, as she conducted herself properly, she continued to make good choices. Notice that Boaz was very observant. Hey, you've been in the fields, you've been working behind the men, you haven't been chasing the guys. Sometimes that's the problem. It's not always the guys chasing the gals, sometimes the gals are chasing the guys. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. You need to make good decisions. All right? Young ladies, let a guy pursue you. Don't pursue after some guy. You with me? Don't live your life like a desperate housewife. Okay? Our culture's different. All right? The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I understand our culture is different. There are a lot of things that happen in our culture that are the result of influences that are not godly. And if we're not careful, we'll leave the truth and compromise what we believe and make bad choices. Amen? Make good choices. Walk in excellence. And here's something that I want you to know. God will always honor that. Here's something that you have to settle in your mind. God's plan for your life includes the security that nothing and nobody can prevail against you when you are fulfilling God's divine purpose and plan for you. Nothing and nobody can prevail against you when you're fulfilling God's plan for you. He will always be there for you if you'll make right decisions. Ruth made some good decisions. So Boaz said, everyone knows you're a woman of excellence. And so he said he would fulfill that pledge. Now, here's something about Boaz. Boaz was a man of integrity. And it's obvious that he wasn't seeking after this young woman, because he realized that there was another relative that was closer than he was. And so one day he called the elders together in the village and he said, you know, I know it's written into the law that we can redeem our brother's family, but there's another relative who's closer than me. And he said, I'm going to give him the opportunity to redeem this family. And so that man happened to be coming down the road, and Boaz said, hey, here he is. This is my paraphrase now. And so he gathered the man, had him come over with the elders, and he said, you know, there is a family that needs redeemed, and you're closer to them than I am. And the man had lands, and all of a sudden this near relative says, well, yes, I'll redeem it. See, he's thinking, what's in this for me? But he said, along with that comes a young woman that you'll have to take as your wife. And she's not an Israeli, she's a Moabitess. Her name is Ruth. And when that man heard it, all of a sudden he backed out. He said, oh, what? Moab? Uh-oh, no, I'm out, brother. I'm out. Hey, if you want it, you can have it. Many times people miss a blessing because they don't investigate thoroughly. All he heard was Moab. He said, I'm out. I'm done. It's all yours, brother. And so as tradition was, if you were going to back out of that blessing, you had to take your shoe off. Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But that was letting everybody in Israel know, look, I'm not going to redeem this family. I'm passing the shoe to you. It's all yours. But see, Boaz did it the right way. God will always honor your choices when you do the right thing. You with me? He didn't try to hurry this thing through because he knew there could be a dispute down the road. And so he did it the right way. Wait a minute. There's another family member closer than me. I'm going to give him the opportunity. In other words, I'm going to give him the opportunity to make a good choice. He made a bad one. And so Boaz fulfilled his obligation and took Ruth to be his wife. And he fulfilled that pledge. Now, turn with me to chapter 4 and we'll finish the story. We'll come to the conclusion. Ruth chapter 4. Beginning with verse 13. Let's see the end of the story, see what happened. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women said to Naomi, not Ruth, Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And it shall be unto you a restorer of your life, and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Notice, Naomi, not Ruth. Naomi. And they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so here, in her old age, Naomi was blessed. Listen to me now. Not because she always made the best decisions in life, but she was blessed because her daughter-in-law made some good decisions. The best decision that Naomi made was to go back to Bethlehem. To go back to where she belonged. To go back to her family. To go back to her company. All of us need a family to identify with. And in the body of Christ, that is our church family. Are you with me? She made a decision to go home to her family. And because her daughter-in-law was faithful, God blessed her. She was bitter, but look what God did in her old age. Now, here's something very interesting. Ruth, this woman from Moab, was not only blessed in that God restored life to her, gave her another husband, a man who was wealthy, but also gave her children so that the generations would continue. But not only that, because of her faithfulness and because of her right choices, she became the great-grandmother of David the king. This woman who had no Jewish heritage at all, other than she married Mahlon, is now in the lineage not only of King David, but of Jesus of Nazareth. And so God can take someone who's had a hard row to hoe in life. You know what I mean when I say that? Life's been tough. Life's been hard. Things haven't always gone well. But if you'll not get bitter, but follow after God and make good, godly choices, God will bless you. And here we see a type of Jesus, the Messiah, in Boaz. Because Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, that Jesus, although he was God in the flesh, he was not ashamed to call us brothers. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, he laid aside his mighty power and glory and took upon him the form of a man and was made in the likeness of men. The writer of Hebrews says that he was touched in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You can't do that if you're God or an alien or an automaton. But rather, he took upon human form, and so he can identify with you. He can identify with me. Good choices bring blessing. Follow after the things of God. You may not have all the answers about what you've been through, but if you'll trust that God is good and follow after Him and make a commitment to Him, I mean, Ruth's commitment to Naomi was strong. She said, the only thing that will separate me from you is somebody's going to have to leave. You with me? But I'm with you. That's the kind of commitment we need to have. Amen? Amen? So committed to the things of God that a nuclear bomb's not going to get in the way. You with me? Amen. Some people make bad choices over silly stuff. Well, I'm not going back to that church. Somebody parked in my parking space. It's happened. You know why in a lot of towns there's the first church and the second church? It's happened here in Erie. Yeah, there's one church that started in Erie because a pastor didn't make a hospital visit. Didn't visit one of the prominent women in the church when she was in the hospital. And I'm sure he had a good excuse, I hope. And she got offended and mad, and they started another church. Now, isn't that silly? It's silly. That was a very flimsy connection. You with me? We need to make right choices. Make godly decisions. Follow after the things of God. And I don't care what you've been through or who you are or where you are in life. There's a blessing waiting for you. Amen. You have a kinsman redeemer. His name's not Boaz, but his name is Jesus. And he loves you so much that he poured out his life just to redeem you. And he will do whatever's necessary to make sure that you prevail in life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? God is so good.
Yes.
Hopefully you learned something from that story. Jesus is indeed our kinsman